The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on this, the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Friday, and we are grateful any day you join us. And if you care to be a casual listener and just do that, thank you. If you want to become more engaged and active, sending an email or calling the program, thank you. But above all, I just want to extend again my thanks for you making this program possible. It's hard to believe that it has been 8 years. And earlier today, I was digging through a lot of our audio clips, and I found a page that I guess had been sitting there for 8 years. And I don't understand how they were still there, because we've lost clips as recently as a few months ago. But they're greetings from friends when I first began this program 8 years ago. And I'm just going to play you a couple in particular and then share what God has put on my heart and then invite you to call and respond. When I started here 8 years ago, I honestly was completely dependent on the Lord. And I'd like to think that's consistent today. I took this program over after a 7 or 8 month process of trying to find a successor to the previous host, which was impossible and is impossible. No one can replace Frank Pastore. So I was announced and began this radio program, and I'm not sure how this transpired. Maybe it was the radio station. I didn't really have a producer at the time. But we had a handful of people call in just to say thanks and have some fun on the air. Now, one clip in particular I'm going to play in a moment. Some of you will recognize him quite well. Some of you won't. He's a legend in L.A. rock radio. But before I do that, let me play one of my favorite pastors who I've interviewed a couple times on the program. He didn't know me. I knew Chuck Swindoll. In such reverence, I called him Charles during our first interview. And literally, he was so gracious. He finally said, Frank, I got time out. My mom is the only one that can call me Charles. Call me Chuck. And we are so grateful for the ministry of Chuck Swindoll, both literally and on the radio. His radio ministry we hear every weekday here.
Hi, this is Chuck Swindoll, Bible teacher on Insight for Living. I'd like to extend a Texas-sized welcome to the new afternoon host on KKLA, Frank Sontag. We're all so glad you're on board, Frank.
Now, kind. He didn't have any idea who I was. I'm sure of this. Although I did mail him a copy of my book, which was written, we wrote Light the Way Home, I think about a year or so later. And Chuck sent me a personalized response, thank you, looking forward to delving into your book, and always had questions about the new age. Chuck Swindoll is one of our best, needless to say. This guy is a little iffy. And I say that playfully. Many of you know and love this pastor quite well.
Hi, this is Pastor Dudley Rutherford from Shepherd of the Hills Church in Porter Ranch, California. We want to congratulate and welcome Frank Sontag as the new host of the afternoon show on 99.5 KKLA. We are blessed as the church body here in Los Angeles to have the best Christian radio station in America. Tune that dial to 99.5 FM and become a faithful listener and supporter of KKLA. Again, congratulations to Frank Sontag and the KKLA family.
Now, I could be playful because Dudley's a friend. I won't do that. I'll just be sincere and serious for a moment. We are grateful that he is on here on KKLA weeknights at 7. Those of you listening on in San Diego, Dudley's on Sunday mornings with Lift Up Jesus. He's actually now regular fill-in for me when I take time off. He is developing some radio chops. But I think about 8 years ago and then and now, and just how much things have changed, it's amazing. It's like a completely different world. So let me play two more clips, and then I'll share with you what I'd invite you to call and talk about. This next one is short and sadly bittersweet. It's a man that's no longer with us that many of you watched in his career of acting, of all things. My dear friend.
Hey, this is Luke Perry. You're listening to 99.5 KKLA, the Frank Sontag Show. Congratulations on your first day, Frank. Hope it's the first of many.
Luke Perry was a dear brother. Many of us loved him. Some of you may have gotten to know Luke quite well. Just a very gracious, grateful, intelligent, funny man, and he is greatly missed today. Now, the final clip will segue into the conversation I hope to have with you. If you, and some of you do, you may not acknowledge it publicly. I'm always taken aback when you say, I used to listen to you on KLOS with Mark and Brian, and I'm like, wait, you're Christian, right? You used to listen to that show? I hear that all the time. When it comes to FM rock radio, this next voice is one of the, I don't underscore it, one of the most famous. He's in the Rock Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And at one time was a very dear friend of mine. And that's the story I will tell on the other side, and we'll kind of go from there. But many of you undeniably recognize this guy.
Hi, this is Jim Ladd from SiriusXM's Deep Tracks. And I'm calling in regards to the rumor I heard that you're hiring Frank Sontag at 99.5 KKLA. You sure you got the right Frank Sontag? I mean, the Frank Sontag I know is a horseback riding, card playing rock and roller. And the only time I ever saw Frank pray before he found Jesus was for an inside straight at a poker game. Now, on the other hand, you have hired one of the greatest talk show hosts of all time. Frank's intelligent, he's engaging, he knows his material, he's well-researched, and most importantly, he knows how to carry on a conversation on the radio and keep his audience enraptured, if you will. So I just want to congratulate KKLA on making a great decision, because Frank Sontag is one of the greatest people I've ever met in this business. He's a wonderful guy, very talented, and he's going to do fantastic things for KKLA. So, Frank, congratulations, man. Go get him, and Lord have mercy.
So, yep, and there's his wife. 8 years ago, virtually to the day, that began my career here in Christian radio. Now, the next part of what I want to share with you is a little painful, but I always want to be transparent with you. So, Jim and I, my goodness, I grew up listening to KLOS, KMET, and Jim was that late nice voice that so many of us grew to love and listen to. And one day in September of 1985, I started working at KLOS kind of as an intern. Next thing you know, I was employed there. In fact, I remember like it was yesterday, September 22nd, 1985, my first day. I got hired as a screener of two talk shows on the weekend. Ladd was on, I believe, 6 to 10 weeknights. And so you better believe, in the back of my mind, I made myself a note. Somehow, someway, I'm going to go into the station and introduce myself to Jim Ladd. Stay with me. We're going somewhere here. So one night, I drive down to the station then on La Cienega. No longer there. They knocked that building down. In fact, they knocked both buildings down. Now it's a high-rise, I think, condo complex. I walk in the radio station. It was nicknamed the bunker because there were no windows outside and it was kind of underground. And as I walked down a short hallway, the FM station was to the left, KABC was to the right. And as I walked up the hallway, I heard music blasting from the air studio that was on 10 plus. So I venture over, and again, Jim Ladd doesn't know me from anyone. And so I make my way up to the door. It's pitch black in there. Music is blasting. I think even back then we had an air filter that ran 24/7 in the air studio because a lot of the jocks actually smoked while they did their show. This is 85. I walk in, and long story short, too late for that. There's Ladd sitting there at the console, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, playing rock radio. And I could tell I was disrupting his mojo a little bit. He kind of gave me that look like, excuse me? Like I was walking into something. And all I said was, Jim, just want you to know, big fan. I'm working on weekends now. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you. And he basically kind of gave me a smile and like, okay, now get out, son. I'm doing my thing. That moment transpired into on and off 20 years of getting to know Jim as a good friend. In fact, and this is an important story to tell. He had been employed on and off at KLOS, KMET, and came back to KLOS and was let go again. And I did a Sunday night midnight program called Impact. And I don't know what I was thinking about, but I decide, usually the midnight to one slot, I would have guests on. And so Jim had been let go, and there was this unspoken, he was not allowed in the building anymore. And so me, I'm young and full of myself, I decide to invite Ladd on in studio, and we brought him in as mystery guest X. He came in, we did the show together, talking about like naming names and all that stuff, and left, and I got a lot of flack for the GM at the time. Don't you ever do that again? Did you really have Ladd on? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, here's the point of the story. Jim and I had a deep friendship. I honor this man as a mentor. I taught radio broadcasting at Whittier College for 3 or 4 years. One of my curriculum books was Radio Waves, the very book that Jim wrote, kind of dispelling some myths about radio and also sharing some intimate stories by which the names had to be changed to protect the innocent, as it were. So fast forward to the presidential election before the one we just had. What was that guy's name that ended up being our president? Some of you couldn't wait to vote him out of office. Well, Jim somehow caught wind that, let's just say, I had changed in my faith. He made mention of I used to be a horseback riding gambler. I did all that. But when I gave my life to Jesus, I read in the Bible where Jesus said, if you declare who I am, I will be there for you. And if you don't share who I am, I will not know you. Obviously, that's a loose paraphrase of scripture. So I got loud and clear. Jesus was my first love since December of 2009. And when I became a follower of Christ, it kind of rocked the radio station a little bit, pun intended. I was on the morning show with Mark and Brian, and let's just say I struggled to be there. But when you give your life to Christ, and this is where I'd love to go with your calls, your life changes. Some of us dramatically immediately, some of us it takes, our sanctification is, well, lifelong, and the changes come very slowly. But we all can recognize sometimes those that we love and consider a friend have decided to no longer engage in that interaction. Right? We're called to count the cost. And sadly, I mean, when I found these clips earlier, I haven't talked to Ladd in a few years. We kind of had, Jim was very angry that I declared my support for the previous president. Let's just say he was not in that camp. and made it clear that, and I'm not really divulging anything privately, that this is public information. And if Jim was on the phone right now, he would probably say, yeah, let's talk about it. But it was hard because I just, friends are friends, right? Come hell or high water, through thick and thin. And many of you lost friendships, maybe because of your support of the previous administration. But I rest assured some of you have lost friendships because you became a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe even family members turned their back on you and said, I'm not so fond of your change, or don't start pushing that stuff on me. Does that resonate at all as recognizable for you? So what I'd like to do, and maybe we'll get a full board, maybe we'll get no response. It is Friday, and sometimes we do Open Phone Friday. I would love to hear from those of you that your faith in Christ has cost you something. Friendship, whatever it is. And your faith has been tested at different times, by which we kind of weigh out the merits in some ways. Easy example I shared before, family. Sometimes, well, Jesus said, I'm basically here to divide you. And he didn't really mean that literally in the sense that he relishes the opportunity to divide families. But what he was saying was, do you love me above all? Right? He was asked the greatest commandment. I think it's Matthew 22:36 through 39. You know where I'm going here. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus responded, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think ESV says something like, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love him above all. He's the sole reason why you exist, to honor and glorify him. And sometimes people come alongside and say, hey, I don't agree with you. Or what does this do to our friendship? Now, I know some of you listening right now, you're probably conflicted. Do I really want to call and share that story? I'm not here to coerce you or force you, but I'm here to say we are here to honor Christ above all. He talked about, They hated me first, they're going to hate you. Now, I know there's at least one listener that is a follower of Jesus Christ, and it has cost you in your life at different times. I'd love to hear from you. 888-528-2557. Now, let me give you a little bit of leeway, since that invitation is a bit stark. If you also want to share a little bit of your testimony of what happened in your life, I would love to hear you share your testimony as well, because ultimately, we're here to honor Christ without a doubt. As Jesus said, the greatest commandment in the law. We have a wide open board, 888-528-2557. What has your faith in Christ cost you, and how has your life changed? What's different in your life? How has your life been transformed in some ways? What happened to you? What's your testimony? 888-528-2557. Now, if you're calling and the board is completely lit up, be patient. We'll get to you as soon as we can. If your phone is ringing, someone will pick up as soon as possible. So be patient. And before we come back with your calls, I want to read something that I wrote publicly for the first time after I gave my life to Christ. I've kept this. This is what I posted on my website, my New Age website at the time. It is dated Monday, March 22nd, 2010. So I waited about 3 months before I said anything. Under the title, Why is Christianity a Bad Word in These Modern Times? And I wrote this, and then we'll talk more about the pushback I got on the other side. Dear friends and family, this is the email that I shared that also was posted on my website. In my last email, I shared with you that I was going to begin to start writing a bit more on my take on life these days. Well, here you go. It seems as if my recent conversion to Christianity has rankled a few feathers. In fact, at a recent Impact men's group, I used to do a men's group, but we just got together and talked about things, right? Not Christian. I was not a Christian at the time. At a recent Impact men's group, I was asked about why I sign off my emails with In Christ. When I shared about my recent submission to Christ, let's just say the energy in the room completely shifted. I even heard the word betrayed. On another occasion during a recent talk show, I was interrupted on the break and was asked in a contemptuous way, "You're not a Christian, are you? So what's going on and why are some of us spiritual folks so turned off by Christianity or organized religion?" Before you stop reading this or ask to be taken off my mailing list, hear me out. The reaction in the men's group did not surprise me at all. In this day and age, it seems that whatever exposure we have to Christians comes through the media in which they are portrayed as judgmental, hypocritical, intolerant, mean-spirited, right-wing whack jobs. There are scores of people who say that they are Christians, but as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once put it, many people falsely represent themselves as Christians. They are rich in their creeds and anemic in their deeds. In the case of organized religion, I understand that some of us have suffered and been hurt deeply by religious abuse. I, for one, have talked for years about my disdain for dogma and have often used analogies like, quote, religion is the ladder and spirituality is the roof. So what happened to me? Here's the short of it. I began to realize around the end of 2009 that what I called spirituality was an excuse to justify and rationalize what was easy and workable for me. You know, playing it safe. Almost all of the spiritual work that I did was centered on myself, and what little time I had left over was dedicated to God. I also began to see that the personal and self-development movement that I guess I could have been loosely categorized with was part of the problem. In that, once again, it is mostly centered around self. In my many years of public lecturing, I have often referenced many of our great teachers and prophets as a source of inspiration. Jesus Christ was at the top of that list. I have now decided and committed to truly investigate who he was and is, and what part he plays in my life. Finally, in my more than two decades of service and public talks, hundreds of you have shared with me how inspiring my message has been. I do appreciate your kind words, but in truth, my role in life has now turned to telling people that it's time to be first and foremost inspired by God's message. And for me, that message is to be spread through his Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Please know that I am yours in Christ, Frank. Let's just say that email, to some, did not go over so well. We'll talk about that and love to hear from you. We've got a full board, 888-528-2557. What has your faith in Christ cost you? Where has God brought you from the time he saved you. Anything you want to share, you're welcome. 888-528-2557. And you can also email me at either franksontag@kprz.com or franksontag@kkla.com. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We are here on this Friday taking your phone calls at 888-528-2557. Earlier today, I found an audio series of recordings of when I first began this program 8 years ago. I think it was last week. People would call in, pastors and good friends, just kind of giving me the big thumbs up and good luck. And I played an audio clip of Jim Ladd, who was a good friend for many years. And when I became more adamant about my faith and some other things, let's just say, as often is the case, our friendship waned, and I haven't really talked to Jim in a few years. So it got me to thinking about when you give your life to the Lord, it comes at a cost. We are called to count the cost. And I look back on when I gave my life to the Lord, I just read the first post that I made, which I've not read in 10 years. Some people were not too pleased. But yet, you only know how God has changed your life and continues to change your life. So we've invited you to call and share a little of your testimony or maybe some struggles that ensued when you gave your life to the Lord. And so let's go to the phones. Paula in Torrance. Paula, you're on the Frank Sontag Show. Paula, are you with us? I hear nothing. Let's keep trying. In fact, Paula, if you're there, I'll come back to you. Let me try another line. John in Garden Grove, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, John, you're on the air. Paula will try to get to you. Paula, you'll be next. John, thanks for calling.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we'll come back to you too. If you're listening to the radio, it's going to get confusing. So I really want to get to Paula, and now her line is engaged. There we go. Paula in Torrance, I think we have you. You're on the Frank Sontag Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment on losing someone due to my faith. And I lost a cousin that I was very, very close to most of my life. It started out with not being aligned politically. She would post things on Facebook. And I was very tolerant. We had discussions about her beliefs in BLM, supporting LGBTQ, and being anti-police. And I would listen. I would talk to her. And I realized that I started pushing my faith aside. I wouldn't pray before I ate or bring God into any equation. But when we finally had a heart-to-heart about it, she asked me what I liked so much about the Trump administration, and I named five things off of that, but the last thing I named, and most importantly, was that he brought God back into the equation, whether in speaking and even in his press conferences, he would bring up God, and she said that that's where she had an offended by that, and that's when I realized I had to step away. And I did step away in January, and it was very, very painful.
Now, did you say this was your cousin? The connection is not good, or please speak directly into the phone. Did you say this was your cousin?
It was my cousin.
Okay.
I was, and like I said, we were very, very close. He was very close to my kids as well, who are young. And that's another reason why I did let her know that when she said that God is offensive, Jesus is offensive to her. She doesn't want any of that in our administration, in our decision making.
Yep.
I realized not only did I have to step away for my own self and because I, you know, God first, Jesus first, but I didn't want her influence around my kids as well. And it has been very painful, especially in January when it happened, but I just got closer reading the word and worshiping, and God has filled that hole in my heart.
Yeah. Amen. I know you would like to share more, Paula, but thank you for the call. And let me also remind you and many others that when we have situations such as what you related to, I believe there's a lie that is being put forth, a lie from hell that oftentimes comes in a whisper, like it's always going to be that way. Like somehow it's never going to be reconcilable. I don't believe that. I think sometimes we go through seasons such as what you described. Painful, obviously. But as you also, I think, so appropriately made reference to, it brought you closer to God. So, Paula, thank you for being so courageous in calling. Asia, you were next, and somehow we've lost you. John, I was going to take you. We lost you. So I don't know what happened. We've got two open lines. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. Paul in Highland. Paul, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Just want to express to you my thanks for doing what you do on the air. A longtime follower of Jesus Christ, truly a follower. By his grace and mercy, I've been saved through many, many things. Hemorrhaged femoral arteries, two heart stents, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. I've listened to you for a long time when you were on the previous radio stations. I sense in your voice a true conversion to Christ, and I'm just so glad that I can listen to you in the afternoons. It's a pleasure.
Well, you're very kind, and I appreciate that more now than ever. Did you want to maybe share a little bit about how did you become a follower? Was there a moment by which, you know, sometimes when we share testimonies, I hear people say, well, mine's nothing special. And then they share it, and I'm like, oh, were you wrong? I mean, anytime we give our lives to the Lord is a special moment. What about you? What happened to you?
Well, I can honestly tell you that it began a long time ago. In the summer of 1973, when I was up in the, what we called Berserkly back in the day, met a fellow graduate of the high school that I was going to. She said, you ought to turn your life to Christ. And I said, you know what? When I'm ready, I will.
Yeah.
And you know what? In 1988, took me that long, but you know, the hound of heaven was on my back. I lived through the Grateful Dead days. I lived through all that crazy stuff. Mm. And here I am, kneeling at the cross, shedding my tears for my Lord and Savior. Mm.
Have we ever talked before? I don't think we have.
No, sir. No, sir. You know what, though? I got to share with you, every time I listen to your show, and you being a spin doctor, you probably recognize this tune 10 years after. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I leave it all up to you. And you know what? The Holy Spirit came into my life. He left it up to me. He knocked on the door of my heart. He opened it, and I've been a believer, and my wife and my children are believers as well. Only by his grace and mercy, my friend.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Paul, thank you for calling. I love you in the Lord, and really grateful for you and what you shared. And by the way, thanks for the laugh. I could use a laugh these days. I've never heard it called Berserkly. That kind of fits. Oh, my goodness. And you quoted the 10 Years After song on my run the other night. Somehow it came on, and yeah. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. If you're just tuning in, we're just inviting you to call and share a little of your testimony and maybe some trials and hardships you've gone through because of you giving your life to the Lord. Maybe a friend or a family member, somebody close to you said, oh, I'm not so sure I'm thrilled with your change. And how have you changed? 888-528-2557. We have a couple of open lines. And we will continue with one more round of calls next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Some Kansas for you. And I think of the interview I did with Carrie Livgren. It's been a number of years, and sadly, we went through some computer changes here at the station and lost some of past programs, but I had Carrie on talking about the incredible run that Kansas had back then, and above all is faith in Christ. Maybe we'll reach out and see if we can get him back on again. Reminds me of all the rock people I've had on over the years. Mark Farner from Grand Funk Railroad. Gosh, I can go for a while here, but what we're focusing on now is you and your life in Christ and how your life changed and your testimony, and did it come at a price? We understand that we are to count the cost. I had shared that when I gave my life to the Lord, some people were none too pleased. Chris in Whittier. Chris, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. When I was very early in my walk, I kind of become a Christian, but I didn't really let anybody know about it. And I was part of a theater group. And, you know, not really greatly successful, but coming up in the ranks. And I got a chance to read for a play that was upcoming called The Robber Bridegroom. It's a classic play. Some people might know it. And I actually read for it blind. I didn't even know what the play was about. I read for it. I got the best part.
Uh-oh.
Then I went home, and I read the play.
Yep.
When we came back for the first read-through, I realized I can't do this. Mm. And I failed. And I had to stand in front of that theater group and tell everybody, you know what, I just can't do this part. I have to just respectfully step down because I'm a Christian and I follow Jesus.
And for those that may not be familiar with the play, talk about why you refused to do the part. Talk a little bit of the text of it.
Well, you know, the play is a pretty bawdy one.
Yep.
And the part that I got in particular was the lead, most bawdy person in the play. And, you know, the nature of this theater company was to be risky, and so they were going to do it full on. I had to play ahead of time and would never put myself in that situation. But I think God orchestrated that because he wanted me to have a confrontational moment,
yeah.
So to speak,
yeah.
To come out. And I could have kept my stealth heading and went in and did everything and had a great theatrical experience and probably life would have been very different from that point forward than it has turned out.
Yeah.
But because I made that stand for the sake of the Lord, I don't even know if it was even the best stand. I was too young to really know the difference. But I know for me, it felt like I was standing up for the Lord. I was going to give my life to the Lord and was not going to compromise. And on the way home from doing that, I felt like the Holy Spirit descended in the cab of my little pickup truck. I was in the presence of angels. It was unbelievable, the feeling, the euphoria, and how the path was cleared before me to walk out as a man of God.
Oh.
It didn't solve everything, but it was a cathartic moment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if it only solved everything, right? Chris, I praise God for you. Thank you for calling and for sharing that powerful, life-changing moment. Yeah, I think some listening... I've gotten a couple emails. In fact, at the end of this segment, I'm going to give some of you a thrill that have talked about the old days. I'm going to play an audio clip. But, some are under the impression, well, if I give my life to the Lord, is everything going to be different? Is everything going to be better? It's not like he's some life coach. So I think many of us can relate to what you said, Chris. Thank you for calling. Liz in Covina, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Good afternoon, Frank. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm calling because I experienced a great difficulty with my son, Anthony, who doesn't want me to teach his son, Gray, about Christ. And I've called three different ministries. I did overstep my boundaries, and that basically I should pray. So I'm going to ask you and your listeners if Father could pray that I could still see my grandson, because my son has told me that I will not be allowed to babysit him anymore.
Now, I have to ask an obvious question. I think I already know the answer. Was this something sudden? Tell me a little bit more about the relationship with you and your son.
When my son was very young, about 14, I used to pay him to go to youth ministry. And he would be happy to be paid, but he definitely had decided that he'd turned his back.
Right.
His wife is in the same situation.
Right.
And I was told very clearly from the beginning not to speak about Christ, and I defied him, but then this, it's come to a head now.
And how old is your grandson, did you say?
My grandson is 6 years old.
So how long has this dynamic and this interaction been going on before your son and his wife finally put their foot down?
In terms of me telling my grandson about Christ, is that your question?
Yes.
But the last time that we met, my grandson said, "Thank you, Jesus." And my son walked into it, and then he really let me have it. He said, "You know, I don't trust you.
Yeah.
I've told you clearly not to speak to him about Jesus." And I did call three different ministries, and they all agreed that I was doing the wrong thing, that I should just be praying about it and not be talking openly, because I am going against my son and his wife.
Okay, well, let me put you on hold and just for a moment share my thoughts. And I want to be careful here. I'm not a pastor. You said you've called through other ministries. They all kind of said the same thing. I'm just giving you my thoughts. Did you overstep your bounds? Maybe. I for me, I don't see this as a, you know, Liz, what were you thinking? And wagging my finger at you. You love the Lord. This is your son. This is your grandson. And yes, ultimately, the truth is, in this season, you have to honor your son. Now, I want to maybe not even answer your question, but go a little different way. I want to encourage you, not only in prayer, but to realize the truth is, this is a moment. And I suspect if we had more time, you would probably tell me that deep inside, it may be blatant, it may be just mild, there is a fear in you that somehow this is never going to be okay, or your grandson is never going to hear about Jesus again. All of these worst case scenarios that are forever and ever. Those are lies from hell. And you and I rebuke those lies by the power and the blood of Christ. This is a season by which you can really love your son and love your grandson from afar in your walk with God and just really give this to God. He's the great I am. He's not missing any of this. But oftentimes, the evil one comes between us and our family. Now, obviously, your son, story for another time. He's got some hurt, anger, whatever it is. But the reality is, he is your son. And the reality is, he's now a grown man with a wife and a family. But do not come from the truth of anything other than, absolutely, you love the Lord, you love your son, you love your grandson, and you give this to God. And God will move. Maybe he's just preparing you for a new season, strengthening you in all of this. But this is not in any way, shape, or form a bad case scenario. This is a good case scenario. God bless you. Stay strong in the Lord. Let us know how we can keep you in prayer. And thanks for calling today. I got some calls off air and some emails when I played Jim Ladd. Some of you used to listen to the old show that I was on. So let me give you 46 seconds of gold from one of still my best friends.
Greetings, everybody. This is Brian Phelps, formerly of the Mark and Brian Show and now of the Brian and Jill Show at brianandjillshow.com. It's a very fun podcast, which Mr. Sontag has been a part of a time or two in the past. I'm actually calling to congratulate my dear friend Frank, and to congratulate you as well, because those of you who are unfamiliar or new to Frank Sontag are in for a wonderful, wonderful treat. He's a very caring, very loving, very good individual, a good human, and he's like a brother to me, and I couldn't be more excited for him and you. Treat him well, listen to what he has to say, learn from him as he will undoubtedly learn from you. We love you, man. You're going to do great.
Brian Phelps is still one of my best friends. I love this man like a brother, and he is my brother. And for the thousands of you that used to listen to that program, I thought you'd get a kick out of hearing Brian send that message to me 8 years ago, pretty much this week when I started this program. When we continue, for those that listen, we're going to segue into a whole nother opportunity to weigh in and share your thoughts. And if you would like to share what you wanted to share for this segment, please email me, franksontag@kkla.com. God bless you. Have a great weekend. For those of you that are going away, for those of you that listen, our number two is next here on the Frank Sontag Show.